If you're the one holding the money in your office's college basketball pool, let the story of John Bovary be a cautionary tale. About 25 years ago, he started a modest football pool out of his home in New Jersey. 57 participants, all friends and coworkers. But thanks to word of mouth and the multiplying factor of email, his pool grew to staggering proportions. At one point, it got too large for Bovary to handle himself, so he contacted a software company to custom build something to his needs.
I can remember the owner saying, there's nobody out there that has a pool with 2,000 people in it. What are you talking about? Well, 2 years later, I called him back when I had 4,300 people, and he apologized. He said, one of my neighbors plays in your pool now.
By 2009, it had more than 8,000 entries from people all over the world, a total payout of $839,000. The next year, Monmouth County, New Jersey police raided John Bovary's home, seized all the money in his house and his bank accounts, something called civil forfeiture, and sent him to jail. One of the main questions in his upcoming criminal trial is whether or not Bovary took a fee for his services.
This did not get started as a venture to make any money, okay? This was a guy who had an idea to have fun with 50 guys in work, and it took a life of its own. Yes, at some point in time, when people won, say, hey, don't forget about taking care of Bovary. He spends a lot of hours running this pool for us. You know, take care of him. And people started giving me something at the end of the pool. It was always at the discretion of the players or the winners, and we referred to that as a gift.
So tell us about what happened at your home the day that your home was raided.
Wife called me to tell me to come home. I get home. I park. They jump out of a van in front of my front door, handcuffed me, bring me to my front door, put me in my recliner, literally yank every box, everything out of the closets, throw them on the floor, including pulling a shelf down that we had to repair. And they just went through every aspect of the house. As they said, make it easy on yourself. Give us the betting slips and the cash. I said, there is no cash in this house. It's all checks. And there's no betting slips. Not a bookie.
And of course, the money from the pool was seized by the police, right? What exactly did they take?
The bank accounts. Oh, and any cash we had laying around the house. They took $300 of my wife's bowling money out of her underwear drawer. They took a couple hundred dollars we had here and there for on the table to pay bills, right? But they primarily seized the account, $846,000. That was personal money, $124,000, player money, $722,000.
And you went to jail for how long?
Well, that's 5 months later that happens. They arrest me out my front door on money laundering charges, $250,000 cash bail, which normally is reserved for manslaughter or murder, no 10% option for my family to get me out by bond. Right? And I spent 25 nights in jail meeting people I should have never met in my life.
Now, your day in court for this is scheduled for June, for the criminal part of this. What's the worst case scenario? I mean, what happens if you're found guilty on all counts and get the maximum sentence?
10 to 20 years in jail.
And John, tell us about how your life has changed since that raid in 2010.
First degree felony charges, you can't get a job pumping gas for $10 an hour at Wawa. I don't know if you have Wawas out west, right? My teacher certification was temporarily revoked until this is outcome. Having pending charges, I learned, is worse than having actual closed case charges. I worked for a limousine company driving a $60,000 Cadillac picking up people to go to the airport for business trips for 4 weeks before they did a background check. And they said, if you were convicted of a first-degree felony, we can let you stay working. But because it's pending, we have to let you go. Man, somebody's got to explain that reverse logic to me. If that doesn't sound like guilty to proven innocent, I don't know what does. But family and friends have stepped up. My wife is a school teacher. She's taken a second job in retail. And we don't have enough money to pay all our bills every month, but friends have helped us. And we're just trying to get hanging there to the finish line and see where this takes us.
That's John Bovary. The almost $800,000 people had wagered on his football pool was seized by police back in 2010, and he's scheduled to stand trial in June. New Jersey's Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office declined our interview request, but they did offer this statement. There is always more than one side to a story. The state looks forward to presenting its evidence to the jury in June. Stay tuned. To help understand the prosecutor's side, we reached out to gaming law expert Mark Edelman of Baruch College, who put it this way.
It's illegal to operate a contest with entry fees and prizes if that contest is deemed to be one of chance. And most of the time, it's been presumed that anything involving picking the winners of actual sports games is a contest of chance. Maybe the law is silly, maybe it shouldn't exist, but under the Professional and Amateur Sport Protection Act, this seems to be a clear violation.
He's not saying John Bovary will lose in court, though. There are many avenues of defense available. But according to the letter of the law, his football pool and many of the basketball pools going on right now in this country are against the law. But as to the question of whether or not your brackets are safe, Edelman says there is some wiggle room.
Many, but not all, states have what's known as recreational gaming exceptions. The recreational gaming exceptions are what allow a group of 6 to 8 friends to get together and have a poker game within the privacy of their own home, but prevents you from opening up your home to offer a poker game to the outside public.
So, if you keep it small and private, don't sweat the cops. At least, not much.